The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to do a lot of college football on today's show. John Wilner, among others, will be with us. That will be momentarily. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. It is 0 week in college football, and we cannot wait. We are really into Florida State against Georgia Tech. We're excited to see SMU and how they perform. That's one of those programs that's on the cusp, I would say. Arizona and Arizona State, next week it gets all going and underway. So I am in college football mode, ready to go on that front. I watched some of the Cardinals game on Saturday afternoon. That's like 20 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Backups doing whatever against backups. Just get onto the regular season. We're just a couple of weeks away, and then we will really be more interested in a long ways. Watched every one of the Diamondback games over the weekend. Every last one of them. I was puppy sitting. You ever had a puppy, 11-week-old little Aussie doodle, that is just a terror, who's got really sharp teeth? Man, he got me. Really got me. Shoot up my arm and my hand. Battle wounds. But I've got a score sheet. I sat there Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. And guess what? The Diamondbacks finally hit a flat spot. The Diamondbacks this season have not had what I would say a flat spot. They've either been like, you know, they're way down with all the injuries. And then as time progressed, they figured some of them out, team came together. And even when players started falling down, like they've been on this amazing run without Christian Walker the last few weeks. They've been on this amazing run without Gabriel Moreno. Ketel Marte has been hurt. Pitchers are just coming back, figuring it out, getting into shape. And yet they're still on this amazing run. And you figured, okay, at some point they're going to crash and burn. And they did. They did on Friday, Saturday, and for a good part of yesterday. They just looked like flat, like, I don't want to be here. I don't know if it was the atmosphere in Tampa. It's the course of 162-game season where people are saying, oh, my gosh, this team is not going to make it. This team is not good. And it's just like, breathe. Just breathe. So I'm watching yesterday's game in particular. And by the way, I got the gist from Steve Berthium and Tom Candiotti that the ballpark sucks in Tampa. I got the gist from both of them that the umpire strike zone was all over the place. Got that. I'm just looking at what took place with the team on all fronts. And when Ketel Marte's ankle buckled yesterday, I don't know if you saw it or didn't see it, but when his ankle buckled yesterday, it was just, you think it could be worse, so I'm kind of holding my breath today. I'm rooting. I'm not supposed to root. I'm not supposed to cheer. I am rooting for this team because this is a good group of guys. It's a fun team to watch. They play baseball the right way, in my humble opinion. Do I agree with every managerial decision? No. Do I agree with not having Justin Martinez out there and Mantiply instead yesterday? I sure was sitting there saying, why is Justin Martinez not in the game? But they come back, and they come back, and they don't quit, and they scrap, and they're still in a playoff spot as we sit here and talk today. Miami stinks. Got to figure it out. You go up to Boston, not an easy place to play. You come back home, and you've got the Mets, a team that's right on your heels, and the Dodgers. Like, the next 2 weeks, it's just big game after big game, night after night. How do you not get interested in that? So I've been taking that in as well. And beyond that, let me think. Anything else? Not really. A cool story over at Arizona State where there I saw the end of it. Ballester winning the U.S. Amateur in golf. That's a cool story. Kenny hasn't named his quarterback as of yet, although it sure sounds like from talking to Jordy Hamm and others out at practice every day. I don't go to practice every day. Call me guilty. I have things to do. I cannot just stand at one place. I have places to be, things to do. So my understanding is that it's pretty well decided, but we'll wait for Kenny to to get down on that front. Just one more week. One more week, and it's Wyoming against ASU and New Mexico against U of A. I'm into both games in a big way. Like most of, I think it's seven players on New Mexico's roster were high school good star players here in the Valley. Good players, really good players. And they're all going to play. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but they're all going to play. One of the quarterback, Dan Pierre, was up at Saguaro. He's terrific. All right, John Wilner is next. All things college football. We chop it up with John Wilner. That's next. It is 0 week. That doesn't mean John Wilner's a zero. He's not. He's a 10 out of 10. There you go. That's the way to lay it up there. Of course, it's Wilner Hotline. Every week across the fruited plain, college football inside and out. None better than John. You can find his content, of course, on the website. You can follow John over on X at Wilner Hotline. You excited for opening week? 0 week mean much to you, John?
I'm excited because it's the start. There aren't a lot of great games. Florida State's playing. That's great, but it's not. There have been week zeros in the past that have been more attractive. Nonetheless, it is college football. I believe it is from now until right late January, there will be football every weekend. It's just the NFL, the week in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. But I'm excited for football. Finally, it felt the last few months waiting for it. It felt like a few years. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Well, I'm excited because of the new rules in play. And I think for that, for the audience, the CFP, that this week won, Florida State, Georgia Tech may not move the needle in some years. This year, it moves the needle in a big way, because if we're talking about teams in the expanded playoff, Florida State is expected to be one of those teams. Mike Norvell brings quarterbacks along. DJ Ogunlele is now there. The offensive coordinator is not there because he has a show cause for the first 3 weeks. So Norvell's got to work with him. Florida State, let's just talk about them. In your mind today, as we're coming into the first week of 0 week, I should say, are they a CFP for sure this year?
I don't think for sure. Remember, the ACC and the Big 12 are guaranteed to send their champions to the CFP. But if you don't win either of those two leagues, I think you're on the bubble. There's seven at-large spots. We know the Big Ten and the SEC are going to gobble up probably three each, certainly two each. Notre Dame is always a candidate for an at-large if they win 10 games. The way I've kind of done the math, back-of-the-envelope math, the ACC will get one at-large team maybe every other year, same with the Big 12. So if Florida State doesn't win the ACC, they're going to be on the bubble in that at-large race. It's really interesting how the whole math is going to work, and you know, the dominance of the two of the Big Ten and the SEC in terms of gobbling up all those playoff spots. Certainly, Florida State's got a chance if they don't win the ACC, and it will be very interesting to see how that race unfolds, because Clemson should be good. I think Miami has got a chance. SMU is a sleeper team folks should be paying attention to. ACC will be really interesting this year. The newcomers out west, Cal and Stanford, they are kind of back burner, but it should be very interesting between Florida State and Clemson and Miami.
Well, in Florida State situation, the hangover over what happened last year in the bowl game where they just got destroyed by Georgia, okay? And there are players on that team that just rolled over and they had their belly scratched like fleas on them. They didn't want to play. And so there's that side of it. There's the side of, is Florida State even want to be in the ACC? They're trying to get out. We're talking 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds that are hearing all this chatter and all this noise, and it just feels to me like Georgia Tech has a young quarterback that's coming into play. It's one of those games, John, where you look at, I wouldn't be surprised to see a close game, Georgia Tech, Florida State. On the surface, yeah, Florida State should win 38-0 if we're just talking. I think there's a lot of distractions around that program.
There are, and you never know what will happen in week zero. There's no exhibition games. Yeah. You can get funky, things can happen. I do wonder about the dynamic inside that Florida State locker room. They've lost a lot of the guys that had to deal with the CFP disappointment. So has Norvell really been able to kind of push the dark clouds away and restart with a basically a new attitude, a new dynamic inside the locker room? I don't know. Those kind of things have a way of just kind of hanging over. You know how the Super Bowl, there's that whole thing about the Super Bowl runner-up never makes the playoffs the following year because it's just kind of such a letdown. I wonder if Florida State's going to encounter a little bit about that. However, they've got a lot of talent. The ACC is not loaded with great teams like the SEC and Big Ten. They certainly have got a great chance to win it. If they can get to 10 wins, they're going to be in the hunt for the at-large for an at-large berth. But it will be very interesting because the week zero, the season openers, you just never know what's going to happen.
SMU, you brought them up earlier. So SMU Nevada on the surface just looks like a SMU has had a good off season. SMU has got people behind the scenes that said, we'll just fund the collective. SMU is now moving up in conference. SMU is one of those programs this year that, like, I'm big on them because I think they have a lot to sell. They have the dollars. They're growing.
They're growing. They had a terrific year last year. They got a lot of returning starters, continuity of the coaching staff, and it has been a big party there since they joined the ACC on July 1st. A lot of momentum for that program, tons of excitement. So are they set up for a little bit of a letdown going to Nevada? Easy game to overlook, but playing at Reno, you got the altitude, home team as an underdog. We'll see. It's a little bit of a tricky situation for SMU. I kind of agree with you. I think they're going to be really good. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the ACC, to be honest. But this is kind of a separate situation, non-conference game, season opener. Never know what could happen.
John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline, as always. Okay, Boise State. We're talking about the Group of Five team right now that you would say – this is the team that will end up being there at the end. Is Boise State atop your list? One, two, shocker that Malachi Nelson was not named the starting quarterback. Here's a guy that was at USC that's supposed to be all everything, best quarterback in the nation. Dirk Cutter is consulting up there. I know Dirk well from Arizona State's days. Dirk has a lot of trust in that new coaching staff. Malachi, you're on the bench. Is Boise State your pick for the Group of Five?
They are my pick. They finished last season strong. Spencer Danielson, who was named coach last year, has got a full offseason to continue the momentum. I love Boise State. They are my pick. I think Memphis should be – we should keep an eye on Memphis. To me, they are the kind of the second favorite to get that Group of Five bid. And remember – the Group of Five, for the first time, is guaranteed a spot in the playoff.
Yep.
The highest-ranked Group of Five team will make it probably as the number 12 seed, which means they have to open on the road against the number five. But the highest-ranked team in the Group of Five is guaranteed to be in the playoff. So that makes everything that's going on in the American, in the Mountain West, Conference USA, much more interesting than it has been in the past. Boise State, Memphis would be number two for me in terms of the most likely playoff contenders.
Yeah, and of course, we think back to Boise State many, 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 many years ago at the Fiesta Bowl, making it all the buzz around Boise for that
to
be in a national space. I was at the Fiesta Bowl kickoff luncheon last Thursday, and the buzz around the bowl is much different than what I've heard the last several years. The last several years, John, the Fiesta Bowl and these other bowl games have been wallpaper for ESPN. They put the game on the air, it's 3 hours of programming, and that's it. This year, the Fiesta will be on New Year's Eve afternoon. It will have the game that will be part of the CFP. There is added buzz to it. I'll be interested to see if the fan base travels because it'll be the winner of the first week of games coming into Glendale. So will there be a lot of fans that come, the cost of it and all that? What do you think of the new CFP for these bowl games?
It's good for some. It's bad for others. It's good for the Fiesta. For the New Year's Six games, every year, there was a few that were not part of the playoff, and so it was easy to forget, like last year, Fiesta with Liberty and Oregon. This year, they are all part of the playoff. Fiesta is going to get a really intriguing matchup that will have enormous stakes because the winner will advance to the semifinal. But for the other bowl games that aren't part of the playoff, I think they have been cast down another level in this purgatory situation that they are experiencing, right? Now that you've got 12 teams in a playoff, what about all the others? Those games matter even less than they did before. I think we could see more opt-outs, just generally less interest in, for instance, even the Alamo Bowl, the Holiday Bowl. Because they're not part of the playoff, they mean even less, which is unfortunate in some regards. So I think the playoff is going to elevate the top-tier bowls and lower the second-tier bowls, create an even bigger gap. You did bring up a great point about the fans traveling and the cost. The playoff selection committee is very aware of the burden that could be placed on fans to have to travel, especially if your team wins or plays the opening round before Christmas and you travel for that. Are you going to want to pay again for the quarterfinals on New Year's and then again for the semifinals? It could be an enormous expense, and we'll have to see how many fans travel, first of all, for the opening round games, but also for the quarterfinals. You know, fans will go to the semis and the championship.
Sure.
The quarters and the opening round are very much up in the air. It would behoove them to put teams with some geographic proximity to the bowls. Oregon, for instance, going to the Fiesta, set to the Fiesta Bowl, but it will also depend on the seeds.
Well, and you have to also throw in conference championship games at the end of November.
Right.
Fans go to conference championship game around Thanksgiving. You're going to ask fans to go to the first matchup, then the second matchup, then the semifinal. That's five games, John. I don't have a credit card that has that much line of credit on it. I don't know anybody who has that much line of credit. But and fans will go only so far on this. So there could be some games where there's a lot of fans disguised as empty seats, right? You know, that's how it may work out this year. That adds, I think, to the intrigue of all this, because people are going to watch. They will watch. But will they go? That's the big question.
And the conference championships have had empty seats in the past. The SEC doesn't. But, I mean, there have been empty seats at the Big 12, ACC, Pac-12, even the Big 10. So it could be exacerbated this year because of the burden of the extra round of the playoff, for sure.
Let's switch over. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. You can find him on X at Wilner Hotline. Of course, his content all over sports360az.com. John and I chop it up every week. We're going into year number three of doing this, looking forward to the start of the season this Saturday. Fans that are watching this for around Arizona State and the University of Arizona, looking at this first year of going into the Big 12 Conference, we can go through week by week of games. John, where do you believe the toughest games to play in what you've experienced or people you've spoken to within the Big 12 Conference? So when Arizona State or U of A goes to Iowa State or Manhattan, Kansas, or Lawrence, or any of those, TCU, is there one place that is more difficult than others for these fans?
I'm not sure if there's one, but I would certainly say going to Oklahoma State, Stillwater, going to Ames to play Iowa State, going to Morgantown to play West Virginia, partly because it's so far. Those are some of the places that have great home crowds. Big 12, it doesn't have big stadiums. It's not like the Big 10 or the SEC in terms of stadium size. It's much more like the Pac-12 in the average stadium size, but they fill those stadiums. So if you're going to go play Texas Tech or Iowa State, you know, it's 55, 60,000, but it's full and it's loud, and they treat every game like it's a big deal. Where that hasn't always happened in the Pac-12. It does happen in the Big 12. So those would be some of the places. I put Manhattan in there too. Meanwhile, if you're a Big 12 fan and, you know, Big 12 teams, what are you looking for when you have to play the newcomers? Clearly to me, going to Utah would be number one in terms of most difficult places to play. Boulder too, altitude. But I don't think the Big 12 fans and the Big 12 teams are looking at going to, you know, Tucson and Phoenix, for instance, as being daunting road environments. Mm. So we'll see how the Arizona and Arizona State end up drawing for some of these teams? Are fans going to care about going to see, you know, the Iowa States and the West Virginias and the Cincinnatis? I don't really know that those are going to be big draws, to be honest.
Well, I think there's going to be some home games at Arizona State and U of A that will be conventions for the opposing team. I think you're going to have people in Manhattan, Kansas, because they travel anyways. It might not be the best example because they're crazy there. They're purple of Manhattan goes anywhere. But they're going to say, hey, look, we want to go golf and we're going to eat a lot of steak and we're going to go hang out and we're going to get out of the middle of nowhere and we're going to go make a long weekend out of it. I think it's going to be great for the Tempe tourism people and for the Tucson tourism people in certain cases. I think that the other side of the coin, you talk about the travel distance. I don't know off the top of my head. I think going from Tempe to Pullman may be about the same as going from Tempe to Morgantown. I could be wrong on that. It's a long day.
It is. I do think
Central Florida, same deal. Cincinnati, there's some long trips for sure.
There's some long trips. And the other thing is there's the time zone change. That's what you don't get with, you know, Pullman, for instance, if you're an Arizona school. And there is certainly something to the shifting, you know, going three time zones away to play, then coming back home. That's the element that all the West Coast schools in all their new conferences are really going to have to deal with. It's the distance and the time change.
Well, and I can only say this, I'm very much looking forward to football season. For some reason, I'm much more looking forward to basketball season because I think having KU as part of the deal and U of A and ASU and Bobby's building the thing in the right direction. I feel like there's going to be some tremendous national matchups right now, as the season kicks off in football, we don't have a whole much of national attention on the Big 12 or on the new teams coming in. It's just the way it is. I would say one last thing or one last question for you. If we're talking about Big 12 and Heisman Trophy candidates at the start of this year, right now the national Heisman probably be Beckett, Georgia, Gabriel at Oregon. Those are a couple names. You know, around the Big 12, is it the running back at Oklahoma State got in trouble, Madsen? Is it Noah Fafita? Do you have some names, John, just as maybe dark horse to start of the season?
You always have to start with quarterbacks when you're talking about the Heisman. I think Shedeur Sanders at Colorado is probably got a really good chance. If they have a good year, because he will be put in position where he's got to make plays, lots of yards, lots of touchdowns. You know the spotlight is always on Colorado because
Travis
of Deion.
Travis Hunter too, right?
Travis Hunter as well.
Yeah.
Corner, especially if he can play both ways. We'll see how long he can hold up as a receiver and a corner. Both those guys, I'd say, would be on the top tier of the Big 12 contenders. And the Big 12 contenders are the second tier of the national contenders. Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State, yes. Cam Rising at Utah, keep an eye on. If Utah wins the Big 12 and Rising stays healthy, he'll be in the discussion. I'm not sure that Noah Fafita and Tet McMillan at Arizona, it's one of the best quarterback receiver combinations in the country. Will they cancel each other out? Will Arizona play enough big games? We'll have to see. Certainly those guys would be on the list of the preseason Big 12 contenders. But like so much else in college football, it tilts so heavily, heavily to the SEC and the Big Ten. The Heisman, the playoff, the TV windows, everything about the AP poll, you know, dominated by those two conferences. It is a new era, and the Big 12 and the ACC too, they've got to find their role. They got to find their path to relevance. It's not going to be easy.
There's John Wilner. He joins us every week, and we're back with more after this timeout.